And joining us by telephone, Congressman Jared Huffman. Thanks very much for calling.
Good to be with you.
Well, we'll start off, as we always do, with opening statement, where you can tell us, if you would, something that's going on in D.C. that we should know about here on the North Coast.
Well, there's four things that are big things going on in D.C. This week. There's more than that, but the ones I'll mention. The omnibus funding deal is coming together. It needs to come together by Friday, or else we start talking about a government shutdown again. And it looks like the sticking point will be whether Republicans demand a bunch of policy riders in what's supposed to be a government funding bill. The big one that could hang things up will involve immigration. No surprise, right? And it could involve their demands to have a whole bunch of new detention centers and deportation resources. They really want to take this deportation push inland, and Democrats, including me, are going to oppose that. So that's one big one. The Mueller probe and the firing of Andrew McCabe has certainly had a lot of repercussions here in Washington, so that's an issue a lot of folks are talking about this week. The gun violence issue continues to really be a big deal. I just had a student summit in Marin County with a thousand folks yesterday, including student ambassadors. A young man from Parkland, Florida, Skyped in to join us, and there's just a tremendous amount of energy around that. And then the final thing is this week there will be oral arguments at the Supreme Court on a potentially important case involving reproductive choice. It's the technical name of the case is NIFLA versus Becerra, but it involves the state of California's attempt to crack down on phony health clinics that don't really provide reproductive services for women, but instead try to steer them into adoption and, you know, religious counseling and things like that. So, busy week.
All right, thank you. We now move on to our next segment, School Thing. You recently reintroduced the Investing for Tomorrow's Schools Act. What's that all about?
Yeah, this is an attempt to support some of the innovative school construction efforts that we've seen in many parts of California, where schools deploy renewable energy, solar, for example. It's good for the environment, also good for the bottom line of that school over time. So we want to encourage that kind of thing. This is a bill that will help us do that.
And what's the status of the bill?
We're seeking co-sponsors, so, you know, this is not a particularly productive Congress. I can't represent that it's on the verge of becoming law, but this is a good example of the kind of bill that, if we win some elections this fall, I'd be able to pass out of the House of Representatives, and we'd be able to really start driving a forward-looking debate about investing in our schools and our infrastructure and our clean energy transformation. So we're going to keep pushing this.
I have a process question that I've always been curious about. When you're drafting a bill, but before it's been introduced in the House, do you reach out to your counterparts in the Senate to see if there's support for a companion bill, or does that come later in the process?
It's a very good question. Sometimes we do that. In fact, you may know I've got a big public lands bill, mountains and rivers bill, for the North Coast, and that's a bill that we're talking to Senator Kamala Harris's staff about potentially introducing a companion in the Senate. You don't have to have the companion bill. They could if they wanted to take up a House bill, but, you know, they're the Senate, and they're, you know, that's high on Mount Acropolis. They like to have their own version of everything. So you probably do better to have one of them drop a bill and partner up and have a reconciliation process.
All right, and now on to our next topic. Whose bus? The omnibus. First question, what is the omnibus?
People hear these words and glaze over. Omnibus just basically means a roll-up of all the government funding bills that should have passed months ago. You're supposed to have 12 different appropriations bills to fund the government. It hasn't been working that way in recent years, and so what typically happens when these appropriation bills start to stall, you get up against a government funding deadline and you kind of roll them all up into one big deal.
You mentioned in the opening segment that there are some immigration measures that are being considered for inclusion in the omnibus that you're not in favor of. Does that mean you're a no vote if it has those things in it?
Well, it depends on what they are. I'm not opposed to some additional border security. What I don't want to do is unleash a massive deportation force that goes inland and terrifies our immigrant communities around the country. And that's really the discussion that's taking place behind closed doors right now, because the administration and some of the folks across the aisle do seem to want to do that. And that's what this debate over the omnibus could come down to.
Now, it seems to my cynical mind that whatever party is in power at the time adopts the Cheney line that deficits don't matter. Does the debt concern you? I think the figure I saw is that the omnibus is about $63 billion over the BCA caps.
It is, and of course we just hit $21 trillion in the national debt. It's going to become a real problem if two things combine to happen. One is if interest rates continue to go up, because then you got to service that huge debt and things really start to compound. And the other is if the economy slows down. And those two things happening together, which is very foreseeable, could be a disaster fiscally. So that's the concern. And we should be talking more about the debt and the deficits. And you're right. It is a concern that has been selectively invoked. In a perfect world, you know, those of us on the Democratic side who claim to be Keynesians, we should prime the pump of the economy during recessions and downturns using government stimulus. But then we're supposed to exercise discipline when the economy roars back to life. That would have been like this year. This was the year when we should have probably looked at the tax code, maybe raised taxes, maybe looked through the budget at this bloated defense budget, for example, and thought about some fiscal discipline. And none of that happened. In fact, we went the other direction. We threw a whole bunch of more money than even the Pentagon was asking for into the defense budget, and we slashed taxes, especially for the rich. So this is it's like a fiscal disconnect. It's almost indefensible.
Representative Mark Walker of North Carolina, who claims to be a deficit hawk, said recently that because there's going to be some GOP opposition to the bill will tilt left in an effort to attract Democratic votes. Is there any truth to that?
Well, they're going to have to get Democratic votes. That is true, because there's a certain block of Republicans that will never, ever vote for a government funding bill, no matter what. They just hate the government. And so Congressman Walker's being a little disingenuous there. If I'm not mistaken, he voted for the Republican tax bill that took us deeper into the hole, that created deficits as far as the eye could see. And really, you know, if he's now invoking deficits, I wish he had been concerned about them a few months ago when he made them a lot worse. What they're really doing is talking about deficits so we can justify cuts to social programs, including Social Security and Medicare. And that's not a choice I'm ready to make.
Okay, awesome. Thank you very much.
Okay, my pleasure.